Welcome, friends, to another broadcast of Morsels for Zion's Poor.
A certain lawyer in Luke 10:25 inquired of the Lord what he might do to inherit eternal life. The Lord replied by asking him what the law said. And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. The Lord said, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. When confronted with his own obvious failing to keep that law, he then reverted to the common default of the natural man. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? The Lord then set forth the parable of the Good Samaritan. Men will either deny the veracity of the law, or when that fails, will seek to excuse themselves by claiming that they do not understand it. In all cases, they will seek to convince themselves and all who will listen that they have a good reason for disregarding the precepts of the law. Some even imagine that they do keep it and wonder why they could possibly be considered as failing to abide by its precepts. This mind is illustrated by those in Matthew 7:22 who brought up their supposed good works as grounds for their acceptance with the Lord. Little did they comprehend their true need as they desired to justify themselves by their own actions. These excuses all illustrate the corrupt nature of man, left to his own thoughts. It is impossible for a man to comprehend the separation that exists between himself and a holy God, unless the grace of God strips him of his excuses and causes him to see his devilish rebellion against the Lord's precepts. This great grace is illustrated for us as the Lord humbled Job before him, causing him to put his hand over his mouth, saying, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Job was then a man without any excuse. We see the same scenario on the Damascus Road, as Saul of Tarsus, who breathed out slaughters against the people of God, was now brought down upon his face to confess the lordship of Christ Jesus. He had excused himself of wrong, as he held the coats of those that stoned Stephen, and convinced himself that he was doing good by obtaining letters against the disciples of Christ. Yet he was stripped of all of that justification in his own mind when the Lord convinced him of the truth, which heretofore he had kicked against. All such pretense was now purged from his mind, and he had no excuse. This is the essence of repentance. True repentance does not exist where men seek to make excuses for their actions or to justify themselves in their own eyes. True repentance is a perfect work, which is the product of the Holy Ghost convincing men of their own sin. Righteousness, the only perfect righteousness which is found in Christ alone, and judgment, that which causes them to tremble, and yet own that the judgment of God is right and good. The Lord sent Jonah to Nineveh to preach unto them the necessity of repentance. On that journey, the Lord saw fit to bring Jonah to repentance in a very unconventional but effective manner, as he prepared a fish for Jonah's passage there, even though Jonah had bought a ticket going the other way. In the belly of that fish, he caused Jonah to come face to face with his own limitations and complete inability to deliver himself from what he supposed would be his tomb. In the midst of that darkness, the Lord convinced him of sin, righteousness, and judgment, and he cried out, Salvation is of the Lord. Though the Lord spared Nineveh according to his mercy, it was unto Jonah that the Lord revealed his sovereign will. We see the natural depravity of Jonah as he, though an object of the Lord's mercy, did begrudge that same mercy shown to these Ninevites he despised. It seems that the Lord did all of this to soften the heart of Jonah. Yet the underlying reason for this account was not the sparing of Nineveh, or even the softening of Jonah's rebellious heart, but rather to illustrate the resurrection of the only begotten Son of God as he triumphed over death and hell. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation, and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here. The resurrection of Christ is at the very center of the preaching of the gospel. There can be no gospel preaching where the resurrection of Christ is not unequivocally declared. If he did not rise from the dead, then his death on Calvary's cross, while noble, could not have procured the redemption for any. Now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Is your hope in him?
For a free CD containing 15 of these radio broadcasts, send an email to forthepoor@windstream.net.